show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
98, 99, 100, here I come, ready or not. Craig!
Over there, in the media corner.
Thanks for giving me away.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek, and that's putting it mildly. This is the show for Wednesday, July 22nd, 2009. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, wow, thanks for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, just like we were 10 minutes ago.
What was 10 minutes ago?
The voicemail show.
The hide and seek show.
The hide and seek show. Yeah. Stupid media corner, gosh.
All right, we have a number of things, but before we get started, we have a word from us to you.
Captain, I'm picking up a signal on subspace, audio only. It sounds like an advertisement from the early 21st century.
Sulu, where's Uhura?
On vacation.
Who the hell authorized that? Ah, you look terrible in a skirt.
Thank you, sir.
On speakers.
Now, Craig, I know you are into computers, and we have an in-studio guest with us tonight, Greg Steiner, local
hey.
Appleton resident. Greg, do you often get called for computer support issues as well?
Not as often, but yeah, I do. Yeah,
people call you up and say, oh, my internet
In-laws,
browser
yeah.
or something is wrong. And, you know, so much of this is done over the phone. It becomes very difficult because you want to be able to see what they're
seeing. Makes you want to get in your car and go there.
Yeah, well,
especially when they call you and say, the internet's down.
Yeah, my printer doesn't work. Whatever it is.
My internet's down.
Well, if the internet was down, this would be a problem. More serious than this.
Yeah.
Well, we all have that. I know probably the majority of listeners to this show have had one of those at some time or another. There is a tool that makes this much, much easier called GoToAssist. You can find it at GoToAssist.com. Offers you remote screen sharing, chat, file transfers, all kinds of things you need to see and help people out like that. And you can try it free for 30 days by going to GoToAssist.com/podcast. That's GoToAssist.com/podcast. That's the important part. You want to make sure you get that right so that we get our little credit for this advertisement. And you can get a free 30-day trial. So you won't be sorry. And neither will your family or friends or whoever it is you're out there helping out to make this a better world.
Yeah, if you want to make sure you get the right URL, check the show notes on the site and you can click it from there as well.
The URL.
URL.
My name is Earl.
So, you know what? I thought of a little intro we should do at the beginning of the show. My name is Earl.
URL.
www.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got a minor mistake with a credit card bill, a typewriter that doubles as a piano, and Windows 95 lives on. That's
it isn't so
much more coming up right after this.
If you've got a Gmail account, the Gmail Podcast makes a great way to get the most out of it. The Gmail Podcast gives you quick tips on how to deal with the ever-increasing amounts of email we all get. You'll learn how to manage multiple email accounts in one convenient place and ways to keep all that information organized. The Gmail Podcast also keeps you informed of the latest new software features as they come available. And because you're busy, most shows are less than 5 minutes. Get started with a Gmail Podcast today by going to chuckchat.com.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
All right, this is the part of the show where we give a shout out to the chat room, and these guys are being their usual characters, guys and girls. I don't know which of these are girls, but it seems the theme tonight is 80s icons.
80s icons like Aldous PageMaker.
No. Oh, wow. Wow. You know, I don't think anybody hit the software realm. We've got AD DeLorean, Elf Tim, Claudio Says Relax, Captain Rootbeer, who's just, I guess Rootbeer's been around forever, Debdrup, Garbage Pail Z, Geek Cred, Giant Jackson.
Wait a minute. Geek Cred wasn't born in the 80s. How can he be an 80s icon?
Gorkin, Mad Marv, Mike King, Mr. Osborne 1. There we go.
There.
Leave it to Bruce to get the gadget slant on things. Nightstar, Tom 1, and
Zahadoom.
Well, he just jumped. He was Garbage Pail Z a minute ago.
Oh, so we named him twice. Cheater.
Call out.
Cheaters.
Want to let you know, if you happen to be around on Sunday nights about 10 p.m., Eastern, 7 p.m. specific. You can go to check.
I'm sorry. Zahadoom is slapping himself in the in the chat room.
You're allowed to take certain actions, but slapping yourself is just not right.
Yeah.
If you happen to be around at those times that I mentioned earlier, you can go to chuckchat.com/webcam to join all the fun and find out the hilarity that ensues. Looking at the special, wow, special Technorama birthday calendar.
You keep it in your pocket?
Fold it up in quarters.
That's your new PDA, the little hipster PDA.
The hipster PDA, yeah. July 26th is Aaron Heath from Adelaide, Australia. And July 27th is wife of Will the Computer Guy, who we heard about at the voicemail show.
Yay.
So she's not going to see much of him while harvest season comes in. If you don't know what harvest season is, a couple of years ago, Craig and I went out to Paramount Farms in California and listened and walked around with him to find out the technology and everything about harvesting pistachios. Was that two-part?
I can't remember, but it was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. And you get to see me in a hairnet if you go to the Flickr page.
Yeah.
That'd be worth the price of admission.
Yeah. It was pretty.
Happy birthday to all those people. If you were not mentioned, happy birthday to you. And if you want to be on the birthday calendar, you can go to chuckchat.com/wiki to be part of that fun. And we will celebrate your birthday along with all the others when the appropriate time comes. Should we check the news?
Yes, let's do.
And the good news keeps on coming.
In the news, we've got a picture, thanks to listener Brian, of an FA-18 that is, as the title says, FA-18 is flying too damn terrifyingly close to this building. It is an FA-18.
It looks like it actually is part of the building.
It is scary close. Let me show this to Greg just so he can see the picture. It does look like it's part of the building. He says, no, this is not Photoshopped. There's a guy in the balcony. It says, I don't know what that person on the balcony is thinking, but I need a change of underpants.
Yeah, me too.
He says, I know it's not a Photoshop. It's a real untouched photo by Steve Perez from the Associated Press. It was taken as a demonstration flight by the U.S. Navy during the 2009 Chrysler Jeep Superstore's APBA Detroit Gold Cup. I can say that, but I can't say specific.
You know, I wonder if it's just not trick photography, but just a
perspective,
a trick of the perspective type thing. You know, just
it's still too damn close. Like
it is. It shouldn't be.
I don't care if he's a quarter mile away from that building. It's too damn close.
He's a trained professional to be able to fly right out of the balcony of that.
And then you, that was amazing. Whoa, you stuck something in here on me because we only had one news story.
Yeah, maybe you should refresh it throughout the day.
I refreshed it like 5 minutes before the show started.
Okay, well, here, I'll bring this up. At the U.S. State Department, they had a workers' town hall meeting or something with Hillary Clinton. And one of the questions that came up was, can we please move over to Firefox?
Oh, yeah. I heard about this. Keep going.
Apparently, they still use an old version of Internet Explorer. I assume it may be 6. I'm not sure.
3.0.
But he mentions that.
We just got table support.
Yeah. So, it's kind of amazing that they would ask that. And then the question, it came up as we have to look into the cost of such a thing. And somebody brought up that, it's free. But they were apparently talking about they were referring to the costs of managing software patches and stuff like that. But you know, I don't know about how much
it
that really
itself.
Adds to the cost of it.
Well, huh? They do have a point. You know, it's free for cost, but the recurring costs are not free. There's mm-hmm. there's training your staff on how to support it, because people will have questions. There's training the support staff on managing another package. How you're gonna have, whether you use SMS or push it out some way, you've got to train your IT staff to support this. So mm-hmm. it is another something. It's going to have a lot of soft costs, but they are costs nonetheless. And yeah. if people were not supporting Firefox, could they be supporting something better or something else mm-hmm. a little bit better? So it's a time thing. I can understand yeah. the argument being from a corporate enterprise world. Greg, any input? Yeah.
Firefox rocks, man. There's no,
you
it's
know
a no
that.
Brainer.
I know that.
You're absolutely right. There are not obvious costs. I mean, obviously, you know, it's free. There are support costs, like you mentioned. So,
yeah.
Well, they still need I'll tell to you do something it. Else that was farther under in the arc where they were talking about actually using some, which they I don't think they can now inside the State Department themselves, use like Facebook and other social networking sites. They were talking about using that for more diplomacy efforts and business goals and whatever. That's what they say in the article, which, you know, I think they should use things like that or a little smarter, you know.
I would agree with you in that they should plan a transition. Now, maybe they've got some custom-built applications that are built around the IE, the data object module that's completely brain damaged.
I think it's actually two different things we're talking about. They just mentioned that in the top of the article, but they were also talking about bringing things more up to date by using some of these technologies. Also, you know, in addition to social networking.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I missed the fact that you changed gears.
Yeah, well, and it makes total sense, because look at NASA. I mean, they've had great success using Twitter. Where are all their projects of recent, you know, history, right?
Yes, I've been a little lax on Twitter lately, so I can't
verify.
Oh, come
on, we've been talking about Twitter and the Mars lander. What do you mean, lax? You know about it. Right?
I've been too busy for Twitter lately.
No, the Mars Polar Lander. We talked about it on the show.
Yes, you know, we did.
Yeah, and they've been tweeting. They've been tweeting the Apollo 11 details as they're progressing with the Choose the Moon site that you mentioned in the voicemail show. So I think they use it. They use it pretty smart, and I think that some other areas of government should also do that as well.
Now that would have been cool if they had like Twitter back then. The astronauts could have like tweeted where
Armstrong would have not have lost his A.
Do what? Oh yeah,
he wouldn't have lost the A.
A?
E?
Yeah.
A? Was he Canadian?
It's one small step for a man.
All right. With that,
Hey, by the way, speaking of which, you know, talking about stuff like that, but you know, my wife pointed out that, you know, a lot of the astronauts are chosen because they're dyslexic. Did you know that?
I hadn't heard that.
I hadn't heard that either, but I'm going to have to look into that. She said that they're chosen because they're dyslexic, because they're the way they view their world in a more of a out-of-the-box type point of view.
How that they choose does dyslexia mostly, contribute to that?
I think that would have weeded you out early on in the Mercury, Gemini, Apollo programs. And being a test pilot, I don't think you can be dyslexic. You got to read that panel.
Not that
sharp.
Button, the one on the other side.
Which left?
No, but I'm serious. I mean, I think it kind of makes sense if somebody's more predisposed to have certain, I don't know, traits because of dyslexia. I don't
We've
know.
Got 100 pounds of fuel left. No problem. Wham!
Oh, that was 0.100. Sorry. Missed it by that much.
All right, we need to call in Lenny to get on with the Hacks and Strange Stories. Lenny! Yes, Lenny!
Hacks and Strange Stories!
You know, I mentioned this last time, but we got to get him a better part. Maybe he needs a new intro.
He needs a new something.
In the Hacks and Strange Stories, we've got you put up a video of a cacophonic. I know what a cacophony is, but I've never heard this term.
Cacophonic?
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 Yeah, cacophonic.
Cacophonic.
A whole lot of noise.
Dyslexic? Congratulations, Chuck Tomasi. You're eligible for the astronaut program.
Because I can't say cacophonic.
But specific.
It's a typewriter that doubles as a piano. Now, it looks like they took apart an old Underwood here. And every time you hit a key, it makes a musical note. So this guy's trying to type a letter, and it's going ding, 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 ding. It doesn't really play a song.
Yeah. It's got a camera mounted above where you type, and it kind of matches the keys up to what, I guess, the notes that you want
to
play.
Oh, that camera has something to do with it?
Hello.
I thought they hardwired it into, like, capture the keystrokes.
Here, play it real quick, and let's hear it.
Well, if I play it, it's out the wrong computer. The listeners won't hear it.
You'll hear it in a minute.
Oh, because Craig's going to patch in the real audio.
I'm going to edit it in. All right. So, anyway, it's a neat idea. You know, just the whole thing, like all things on Make, there's some really cool and quirky projects on there.
This was in Gadget.
That, too. They reprinted it from Make, I think.
Oh. How dare they?
It says via Make at the bottom of the article.
All right. Listener Yorga sent us some awesome photos. He's in France at the moment. In Nice, France.
How nice.
Specifically. And he was passing by a computer store that made computer sculptures out of old computer parts. Craig, you got a copy of these, right?
I did. That's really cool.
One looks like... Greg, you're going to have to slide over here to see these. These are awesome. One Get looks kind of like a motorcycle, and the wheels are like big CPU chillers. I can't even identify half the
wheels
parts.
Wheels are hard drives, man. No,
that's the other one. That's the other
one.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. One's got hard drive platters for wheels, and there's coolers and chillers and springs. Where are springs in
it? It's a very steampunky looking thing, though.
It does have a steampunk look to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. They need to clean the window on the front of that store. My God.
You can see Yorga's reflection in here. We're going to have to post these up to Flickr.
Yeah.
You can see he's got his 35 millimeter camera up to the window.
Oh, by the way, I want to add that I want to thank Yorga. I got a postcard from yesterday from France.
I was going to ask you about that. Yes, I did too.
Although thanks, man.
I thought I had it around the studio. It must be up
my
on the
son brings it to me
up on the cabinet.
And my son brings it to me, and he's like, "Hey, you got a postcard from somebody?" He hands it to me. I'm looking at it. And he says, "What did it say?" So, well, you carried it in here.
I don't know. I can't read Belgian writing.
Yeah,
even though it's in English.
Yeah, it's in English.
All right, our next article from the Hacks and Strange Stories really goes above and beyond. This is also from Engadget. Give a guy an iPhone, a jailbreak, and an open-source cross-platform x86 emulator, and it's just a matter of time before hilarity ensues. In this case, said hilarity involves getting Windows 95 to boot on an iPhone 3G, a process that takes 5 to 10 minutes worth of pure boot time only to yield an environment useless for, well, actual use.
Yeah.
They've got
We're
a video
in solitaire. They can run solitaire.
10-minute boot time. Wow. That's.
You'd think it'd be a little quicker than that.
It sounds like my old Windows 95 machine.
Or any Windows for that matter.
Wow. You got to give somebody credit for at least trying.
Too much time on my hands.
Yeah, no kidding.
Poor Linux over there. My gosh, you could at least do more than that.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
And remembering 30 years ago, Gizmodo started. I can't believe it. I mean, there was no internet, there was no... Gosh, there was the ARPANET back then, but Gizmodo was not part of that. They started out as, it looks like, an article or some kind of radio show. I'm not really sure what they started out as.
Well, I don't know about that, but let's back up. This last week, they were pointing out articles about particular...
Oh, you know,
news changing things. This is like the dawn of the digital age, and I think they have a very good point about that. And all this last week, or I'm sorry, a week ago, they were posting articles about things that were happening in 1979.
Oh, I got including it. Things so like, they're not 30 you know, years old.
No. See, they suckered you in.
They did.
But they have everything from the Speak and Spell. The old Sony Walkmans are showing ads on here.
A hint at the even, compact disc system.
Yeah, there's even the... They got the link to somewhere in here, the ad for the Klingon showing the Happy Meal at for the Star Trek the motion picture movie. Just pathetic.
They have worms in it?
There's the,
they have Microsoft AppleSoft Basic for the Apple computer on cassette. And then you look at today, they're releasing Windows operating Windows 7 operating system.
On cassette?
Yeah. Can you still get it on cassette?
Hey, there's a picture of the... The
Cray 1 supercomputer. We saw that in real life.
Yeah, no, I was talking about the blue box that... That was
oh, I didn't
made,
scroll so. Down that far. They've got a picture of the network before the internet. Someone's opening a gray utility panel, and there's this big thick net cable running through the wall.
There's a picture of Sony's entire 1976 lineup in one photo.
Tandy TRS-80, the budget computer.
Where's my Timex? Is my Timex in there?
Timex. That's a Cheap Trick 8-track.
The Intel 8088, circa 1978. Wow. There's some good stuff in here. You're going to have to make sure the links on the show notes get there. Beta versus VHS.
Hey, a little bit on the racy side, reading their internet porn was hard to come by. Part article was actually pretty funny. So you might want to check that out.
The original Sony Walkman. Crazy Eddie.
Yeah, you remember that guy?
If you lived in New England era during the 70s and 80s, chances are you recall those ridiculous commercials for Crazy Eddie's electronics stores. Even if you don't, they're pretty darn amusing to watch. We had someone in Marquette, Michigan. Actually,
we had Crazy TV Lenny.
Crazy TV
he started
Lenny.
In Madison.
He was a takeoff of
then
that.
Mattioli.
Yep. Madison, Appleton, and Marquette. And I thought he had a fourth store somewhere. Milwaukee.
Probably.
There's one just south of Milwaukee by Ryan Road.
Does it require a mental defect to sell merchandise like that? Or
We've had our share of interesting salespeople on TV in this area. I don't know that any really electronic or anything like that. I remember a guy selling cars, and of course, he had a white dog on the show, on the commercial each time, and I think... I'm going to have to look, make sure I'm right on this, but if the dog was not in the commercial, that means the drug delivery was in.
What?
It's always like a keyword thing.
Hey, there's a Merlin on here.
Yeah, there's a Merlin on there.
Craig's favorite toy. Space Invaders.
Yeah, I got one. I got one of those.
I spent so much money on Space Invaders, man.
You know, I could have bought every video game I played, I could have owned with all the quarters I've spent over the years.
Sony's entire 1976 lineup in one photo. Looks like they're at a football game, and they just lined up every stereo, tape deck, and whatnot on there.
I'm going to drop this in the chat room so they can see.
Oh, love it. Love
there's on the second page, there's, of course, the Mattel football that we saw on the
I still have mine. Museum.
You still have a Mattel?
You know?
Mattel head-to-head football.
Ooh.
And it works. Head-to-head
one. That was in our video.
You're right.
When you have a good 9-volt battery in there, it's still a lot of fun. Just little blips, but the action's great.
And here's something. Here's something else that's interesting. It's on the second page of this this whole week's worth of Gizmodo 1979. Is video piracy was big in 1979. They're talking about how
video piracy.
VHS? Yeah, people were trying to make video copies, for VHS to watch movies at home. And
VHS out in 79?
Yes. Actually, VHS has been around for quite a long time. It started really hitting its stride in the late 70s and becoming more consumer priced.
Huh.
But you know what's funny was I remember seeing a copy of it was Star Wars that my dad said that somebody had filmed in the theater. This is, they do this now all the time. But I kept thinking, wow, how'd he get the camera in there? Because it had to have been huge.
Suitcase-sized.
Before the What's some of the cams had kid? They were like two pieces. They had the cassette area with the unit over here and the camera you would carry. So
and it looked like one of those big TV cameras.
Yeah,
so you're like
you need an outlet to run it too because you wouldn't have battery power in 79. Imagine the battery pack.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, on the article they have a 2-part link to a video of 60 minutes. On video piracy.
You'd have to tuck it up under the back of your jacket.
I'm just going to watch the show. Could I sit in the center, please?
I didn't want to leave it in the car, okay? I had to bring it in while watch the movie. So,
All right, if you stuck in a link to Make Magazine remembering Apollo 11, we're still remembering it.
Yeah, we're all remembering it. And in the vein of that, something we talked about in the last show and was brought up in the voicemail show was the reflectors we talked about on the surface of the moon. And there's a picture of one sitting there. I don't know how accurate that picture is. I guess that's what it's supposed to be seen look like. It says as many as it's been. I'm trying to see. Anyway, but as you can kind of get an idea of what it looks like, and it'll reflect whatever you point at it back. You need something strong like a laser to come back. But Greg, you said you didn't think it was real or. Yeah, that was the least. That's right. You said it was the least convincing.
No,
part
Greg
of the
didn't say that.
Show.
Timothy did.
Who said that? Huh?
Timothy did.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to put words in your mouth, Greg.
That's all right. I'm gullible beyond belief. So
he even believed he wrote that.
Yeah, he's trying to remember. Did I say?
Sure.
So, but yeah, there's a picture of it above what it looks like, which is, you know, it just amazes me. That's incredible. Foresight for somebody to go, well, wait, before we go, take these and dump them out, you know, in the right pattern so we can measure the distance between the Earth and the moon. That's amazing.
Did they, the fact that, and they would have had to know that technology before they went to say, oh, by the way, this would be a good idea. I would have a hard time imagining that specific mirror and lasers. When were lasers invented?
1930 something.
Was it the 30s? We're gonna have to look on Wikipedia for that one. But it seems hard to believe that they had viable lasers to bounce off of these reflectors in the late 60s. So just amazing stuff coming out of that. We need another space program to like boost our technology forward.
You know, you got a good point. Yeah. I'm sorry, you got me thinking about that. What kind of laser technology did we have in the late 60s?
Well,
maybe they just thought, well, we'd be able to do this near soon. Or
Austin Powers must have brought it back with them.
Oh, by the way, I did read that when the when Apollo 11 did launch back off to go back into space off the moon, that they had actually planted the flag too close to the lander. It actually toppled.
And
it fell over when they took off. So future mission.
You better go back.
Yeah, the future missions, they put it a little farther away from where they were at.
They have to have a safe zone. Now, you also put something in here that after I had looked. What is the Logitech photo?
Well,
man?
I wanted to bring this up. C.A. Sizemore, sometimes you'll hear him on Slice of Sci-Fi, and he hangs out in the group.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had asked if... he had a Logitech Photoman. Do you remember that? It's one of the first real consumer digital cameras. It does black and white, small resolution pictures. It had like a 1 meg memory. It looked almost like your iPad, as you were talking about, Greg, about that same size. Do you remember that?
Did it save to diskette?
No, it had had 1 meg of memory on it.
Oh, wow.
But anyway,
have to Google that one.
Yeah, go Google it, guys. Anyway, he was asking about the connector on there. It has like a, it's round like a PS2 connector, but it has 9 pins. And he was curious as to what that connector actually was. I guess he was either going to make one or figure out how to use it.
Video? I don't know.
Well, you know, my thought was, I know Logitech, some of their scanners had cards. And I wonder if this is some kind of special, you know, card connector that Logitech needed.
Yeah, maybe. A good old ISA interface.
Well, it needed to be something because what are you going to hook it up to?
Because the first digital camera that I got my hands on was, a pretty chunky Kodak unit, the P40 or H40 or something. It only took like 320 by 200 pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And it had built-in memory, and then you had to use a serial connection to download them, which was kind of awful, but it worked. You couldn't even preview what you had just taken a picture of, which seems kind of really weird these days.
That is kind of weird. That's kind of what this is. It had a flash and everything, and then there was a Photoman Plus, I think, that finally came out with color.
You know the binoculars that Luke Skywalker looks through? You know, in Empire? Yeah. That's about the size of this digital camera. It didn't have through the lens viewing or anything. It was kind of like the old Instamatics where you're looking through the you know, kind of the cheesy plastic bubble fisheye thing.
Yeah, right.
And then you'd take a picture, and it had a flash, and then it would just say, the LCD would count down from, like, 17 to 16. Okay, whatever.
That's funny.
But you could download it to your computer and see the results instantly without going to get them developed. It was great.
That is great. Well, I know at work, I remember, it was probably around 2000, got work had a Sony camera, had put floppies in the side of it.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah, which it was sound like a great idea, but I was like, you know, I'm not carrying around a bunch of floppies.
And they were slow to save to.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, slow. So, it's amazing how much we've come, how far we've come with digital photography.
That wasn't that long ago, really.
No, and you know the you know what's funny? That Logitech Photoman actually came out in 1990.
Wow.
Yeah, so imagine we've had digital photography on the consumer side since that point. You know, there's been digital photography for a long time.
It's almost been 20 years. Wow. Mm-hmm. Seems like a long time. All right, from Remember When, let's jump into the media corner.
Warning. The Imperial Command has detected unauthorized or incorrect facts in the podcast called Technorama. If you detect information that needs correction, or you want to have your say, call them on the listener line at 206-222-2428. Here's a nickel. Call someone who gives a shit.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
What have you found? Oh.
What have you found, Chuck?
The he Googled the Logitech Photo Man. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow, actually, that's a beast.
Hey, you know, it actually looks...
It reminds me of the flip cam.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah, it does look kind of cool for what it is, though.
That's beautiful. Anyway, back to the media corner.
I'm Batman.
What'd you find, Chuck?
No, what?
Did I put this in? You put this in. We both put this in.
No, actually, who sent that? Claudio? Did he send that in?
I think so.
Yeah.
If not, appreciate it. This is on Gizmodo. It's the new Batman armor, you know, with the forearm thingies coming out. It says, somehow I can't picture a rugged, tattooed, and bearded biker squeezing into this officially licensed Dark Knight armor replica. More like comic book guy riding on a moped.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, this bat replica for bikers is serious business. It features a heavy-duty Cordura base with four-way stretch inserts, leather and Kevlar plates, internal CE body armor, and the classic wrist spikes. Outside of a helmet, you get the whole shebang here, jacket, gloves, pants, and boots. And when it finally does go up for sale, I'm sure this caliber of superhero protection won't come cheap. So this is like motorcycle riding gear.
You know what? I want to wear that and go into a biker bar.
It's titled Dark Knight Motorcycle Suit Gets You Accepted Into the Nerds Angels.
Nerds Angels. We should start that up. Start up the chapter of the Nerds Angels.
Wait, let me get my Honda Helix.
Yeah. I got a moped. Yeah. That's funny. So they're actually going to sell this thing.
I think we got everybody in the chat room on board with that.
Yeah. How much does this thing run?
It doesn't have a price yet.
I'm going to go look. Let's go to UD Replicas. Oh, coming soon. Hey, it's leather vaporware.
That sounds drafty. Not very protective. No, it's not even leather. It's like Kevlar stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
Your
honeymoon.
You can't have a what the Craig. I got a what the Chuck.
Oh, we both got something.
No,
so.
No. Dude, don't make me get out the lightsaber.
Yeah. Right. Hey, no. Whoa. Back up.
I'm on first.
Stand back. Step away from the lightsaber.
All right.
What the Chuck?
What's up with that?
All right, this one comes from another listener who I can't remember. I apologize because I didn't write down the credit. I think it might have been Claudio also. This is a little computer glitch that was announced on CNN. that hits several Visa users, credit card users, with more than a $23 quadrillion charge.
Well, they're trying to catch up on their stock downfall lately.
Just off of, just slip the decimal a few places. It says a technical snafu left some Visa prepaid cardholders stunned and horrified. Yeah, that's putting it mildly. Monday to see a $23,148,855,308,184,500 charge on their statements. Ow. Plus or minus a few dollars.
I don't know where this $500 came from. Yeah,
that wasn't mine.
Got away with that extra 25 cents.
That's about 2,007 times the size of the national debt. John Mazinski, 22, of Manchester, New Hampshire, was one of the Visa customers aghast to find the 17-digit charge on his bill. You know, I can just imagine a thing like that throwing off the column formatting pretty seriously. You ever write one of those reports and you expect the biggest number? Well, this will really darn word wrap.
All I did with Visa, look, talking to the representative at Visa, all I did was take a few friends to dinner. There's no way. What kind of tip is that?
It just says purchase of goods or services.
Wow.
Awesome services.
He's a heavy tipper. He noticed that his debt exceeded the world GDP while making a routine balance inquiry on his online Bank of America account.
Oh, they don't have very good limit checks on their software, do they?
Yeah. Did you sanitize your input?
I'm telling you, Y2K is still a problem.
According to his statement, he had spent the profound sum in one pop at a nearby mobile gas station. Wow, that beef jerky's expensive.
He had a special on planets that day.
Because he bought the gas of the entire world.
His regular stop for Camel cigarettes. Jeez, I guess the government really wants to tax people.
To take care of the debt.
Yeah.
And then he probably called freecreditreport.com right after that, right?
Yeah. Hey, Obama, don't worry about it. Here, just put it on the credit card.
You can use mine. Apparently, I have no credit limit.
No limit.
No limit. Wow. 23 quadrillion.
Like that. 23 quadrillion.
Someone's got some explaining to do.
Yeah.
He said, let's see. Next he called. Mazinski wondered aloud at what he might possibly have asked to purchase for such an astronomical price. Can I buy Europe on pump 4? Next, he called Bank of America, the issuer of his Visa prepaid debit card. The bank kept him on hold for 2 hours, during which time he contemplated the impossible bleak financial future that might await him. He also felt a stab of fear that he had saddled all his unborn grandchildren and their grandchildren with a lifetime of debt. Down the generational line, nobody would have any money. Finally, a bank representative told him that the $23 quadrillion charge and the $15 overdraft fee...
$15? Somehow seems insignificant.
Would be stricken from his account. Mazinski compared the giant debt reprieve to receiving an amazing Monopoly card that says bank error in your favor.
Yeah, right. Man. Why couldn't that be a credit to my account?
Yeah, would you say anything?
You think he changed companies?
Yeah.
Thank you, Bank of America. That will be all.
Yeah, wow.
All right, that's my final story. What have you got?
Well, you don't have to play anything. I'm not angry or anything. I just wanted to talk about the last Saturday. I went with a photo group and participated in Scott Kelby's Worldwide Photo Walk, which happened in several countries around the world, actually, and cities, rather, I should say, where people would go to the website, Scott Kelby's Worldwide Photo Walk, and they would sign up for the photo walk, and there were supposed to be about 50 people in our group, and I think about 30-ish kind of actually showed up, and we just walked around Charlotte, North Carolina, and Victor did his thing, Victor Cayal in Southern California, and some other people around the world, And you know, Marv actually was on a photo walk around Hawaii as well. So he said he had about 50 people in his group.
50? Man, yeah. That's not a photo walk. That's a photo trample.
March.
That's a photo herd.
Yeah, and I'll put a link to his pictures as well.
Wow. So who's Scott Kelby again?
He's a photographer. He's a professional photographer, but he has a Kelby Training, which is a website, and you can go watch videos and stuff and, training about anything.
Mike King had 50 in Houston.
Yeah, Mike King did too. Dang. Yep. There was even a photo walks in Iran, believe it or not, that were participating. And posted all my pictures on my site. You can go to my Flickr site, and I'll put a link in the show notes to it. And you can see the ones I took, and I'll try and get a link to the other ones. And we had a great time. It was a little warm, but it started cooling off, and everybody met afterwards, and we're kind of looking at our pictures and just talking photography and stuff. It was a lot of fun. So if you're a photography buff, you should look for it next year in your area.
That's cool. So, now, you've gone on photo walks before, right?
I have, but they weren't quite as organized as this. It was more like...
like the one we did with, was it Tom Hall? No.
Thomas Hawk, yeah.
Thomas Hawk, in San Francisco. Yeah.
Well, that was kind of impromptu. It wasn't really organized, but it was when I kind of knew Thomas from online a little bit, and so it was kind of a good thing to know somebody that knew the area.
For those who don't know, what is a photo walk?
Well, a photo walk is when you hook up with some other people and you walk around and share photography stories, tips, or whatever, and just take pictures of a particular subject. In this manner, we walked around the perimeter of Charlotte, the downtown area, and took pictures. So that's it. Just socializing really with photography and getting out and getting some sun on my pasty white skin.
I found that one with Thomas Hawk very enlightening, mainly in the fact that I don't have enough low light equipment. But
yes,
there was some interesting techniques of angles and lighting and just some cool stuff that I picked up, even though I didn't have, you know, an f1.4 lens, made for some very interesting conversation and met some neat people too.
Yeah. See, it was a lot of fun. And even if you pick up something or just meet somebody new, it makes it worthwhile.
All right. That's it. We've reached the end.
What? The end? The end, you say?
The end is near. I saw that on a sign.
The end of the world is nigh.
Greg, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a hoot.
Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for inviting me.
Do this again sometime. Short notice. I mean, within 5 minutes, you went from chat room to real room.
I said, honey, mind if I go?
Chuck, why don't you invite the rest of them to your house?
The whole chat room's invited over every Sunday night. I've got a big enough mixing board to accommodate it now.
Wow.
I'll bring some homebrew.
Oh. There you go. Oh, man. Oh. Why can't I be in Wisconsin?
You're virtually here.
Yeah.
We'll have one for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Sweet.
I'll be seeing if Skype's got their new sniff feature.
The Twitter scratch and sniff.
That's an internet fail, in my opinion.
Thank you to everybody in the chat room for joining us. It's been a real fun time, and thank you for listening to Technorama. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call us on the listener line at 206-222-2428. Email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, or on Twitter. I am C. Tomasi. He is Step K. Greg?
I don't tweet.
You know, he doesn't tweet.
He's just a twit.
Follow the show and things we post. We are Technorama. We are Devo. We are Technorama. Also available on Facebook and many other social networking sites. The website for Technorama is available at chuckchat.com for all the webcam and mail lists and all that other good stuff. There's also the tip jar is there and many other links and fun stuff. It's been refaced. Craig did a nice job. Still kind of a work in progress. We've got a couple of other things to tidy up, but making progress. Want to give a special thanks to Mad Mar for providing all the great blog content during the week. If you're not going to the website or subscribe to the RSS feed, wow, you're missing out on a lot of stuff. Good stuff. Unique stuff. Technorama stuff. Make you smile every day. There's also Ustream, who keeps our modest live streams going on Sunday nights, and our chat room on a weekly basis is freenode.net. Actually, it's up 24/7, but only the diehards are there. They're kind of like the people in the bar who never go home.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with farpointmedia.net and a whole slurry plethora, cornucopia of great audio programming there. I think we've got like over 100 different shows on that network now. It's good stuff. Find them at farpointmedia.net. If you're getting this show the old-fashioned way by clicking on the link on the website, why not get the show automatically delivered to you for free? It's kind of like a paperboy that you don't have to pay. It just shows up.
The Digiboy. Hot
the, boy. The lackey of the internet can be yours. If you want to know more, send us an email and we'll let you know how that goes. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And Greg, would you like to do the binary high five one more time?
10111110001.
Just stop.
Still working on that.
You're gonna have to clue me in, Chuck.